If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke. To Luke chapter 22. We will start at verse 24 and we will go toward verse 46. We will start at verse 24 and go toward 46. It is my habit on the first Sunday of the month to depart from our study of Ephesians or whatever book we are looking at and try to bring up some aspect of the Lord's Supper or communion that celebrates the Lord's sacrifice for us. For the Bible says, He made Him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might be made into the righteousness of God. And I want to just highlight some things and show you what went on that night to bring out a few things in Luke chapter 22. And this was not the only time that Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper. Jesus did this every year. Every year since Jesus was born, His family, He celebrated 30 Passovers before He even started a ministry. For the past 3 or 4 years, Jesus has been ministering. He's been with His disciples. And He's been celebrating Passover for 4 years with them. Nothing unusual is happening, except that on the night in which His disciples least suspect, this is His last supper, last Passover, because the next day He would be killed. They have no idea. And I find it interesting that on that last night, they were so clueless. We talked about this in Bible study. He had to work with disciples that were completely clueless. And yet He was so patient. Look what they were arguing with each other on the last night before Jesus would be crucified. They had no idea. And they began at Passover, verse 23, to discuss. They were arguing. You ever had a family supper? That's what Passover was. It was a family supper. It was the only time of the year in which a Jewish family probably got meat. Why? Meat was expensive for poor people. It was the one time of the year that they got a good dinner with meat and plenty of wine. And wine loosens up a mind and you lose your inhibitions. And the first discussion that comes up of significance is this. They began to argue and dispute in verse 24 which one was to be the greatest. Can you imagine that? Who's the number one? They have no idea, do they? You know what Jesus did in response to that? It says in the Bible that when they began to argue who's the number one, who's the head elder, who is in charge of this and that, Jesus got up and did something that shocked the daylights out of them. The Son of God, God very God, got up, got a basin, got a towel, and began to wash their feet. What was Jesus saying? The greatest has to what? Now you see clergy today, the head in Rome puts his foot out, you kiss it. That's what happens. Jesus got up and washed their feet. What's the lesson he's teaching? He's teaching if you want to truly be in charge of a church, what do? Nobody likes to serve, though, because that means you've got to schlep. That's a Yiddish term for you got to work. Jesus washed the feet. He came to Peter and Peter said to him, Lord, don't touch me. I'm unclean. Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you're not clean. Jesus says, then give me a, or Peter said, give me a whole bath. I mean, I like Peter. He was really putting his foot in his mouth all the time. And then he tells Peter, Simon, Simon, boy, this is the scariest verses in Scripture for me. Luke 22:31, Peter, Peter, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. That's right after Jesus washed his feet. Peter, Peter, Satan wants to sift. You ever seen how wheat is sifted? They'll take wheat, throw it up in the air with this wood device that was like a fan there and up in the air, and the wheat would come down because it was heavier, and the chaff. You have chaff all the time. You just don't know it. How have you ever had Metamucil? That's chaff. When you eat Metamucil, that's chaff. And Jesus said to him, Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. In other words, he's going to put you through your paces because, Peter, you think you're stronger than you really are. And you need to know that we're all weak. After that, he takes them out. And I want you in verses 39 through 46 to forget this is Jesus. In verses 39 through 46, I want you to forget this is Jesus, because when we see Jesus here, you don't think correctly. Suppose you had a friend who was facing a life or death crisis, a real problem in their life. How would you handle it? I know what most fundamentalists would do is you'd give them a cold scripture verse, tell them to trust God, and you'd walk away. Why do I bring that up? Because I want you to notice on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, I want you to notice the condition that Jesus was in. And if this were anybody but Jesus, I know how some Christians would be. Rather cold, uncaring, and throw a scripture verse at someone and walk away. Verse 39, and he came about that his custom was to go to the Mount of Olives. Listen to me, Jesus every year celebrated the Lord's Supper. Every year with his disciples, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Every year. This was just what they did. But this night, there was something that would happen that no one realized. And when he arrived at the Mount of Olives, at the place where they every year for Passover prayed, he said, and the Greek is very strong here, he's urging them, pray that you not enter into testing. And they've had a good meal, and they've had plenty of wine. In the Passover, there were 4 cups of wine. By the way, the 3rd cup became our communion in the new covenant. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. How far can you throw a stone? A stone's throw. 20, 30 feet? And it says in Matthew that 3 times he took Peter, James, and John a stone's throw away with him. And he said, I especially need you 3 to pray. And they bowed their heads. And the wine and the food, at the time in which Jesus needed it the most, they fell asleep. And Jesus went even further away and looked back and saw them sleeping at the time in which he was facing history's greatest spiritual crisis. And here's what he did. He fell flat on his face and cried out, "Father, if you're willing, don't let this happen." Now, if that wasn't Jesus, I know what some Christians would do. I know what some pastors would do. "What's the matter with you, Jesus? Aren't you trusting God?" Don't ever do that to people when they are in a crisis. It is not helpful. This shows you that even Jesus, in the human weakness, not sin, this is not sin. "Father, if you would..." Can you imagine? I wish we had a recording of that. Because you would be... They could put his voice on stress analysis. He would be stressed. I asked the physician about this, about what was going on. It said he even broke out into profuse sweating. I could just see a fundamentalist, these fundamentalists. Yes, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith here, but I reject the culture. Here, Jesus, this is a scripture verse. Non-effective. What he needed were people to come with him, put their arm around him, and what? Be with him and pray. Support him. Where were they? He sure didn't need a card or a rebuke, but that's what Christians would do. If it wasn't Jesus, a rebuke. I have little patience with fundamentalist Christians. 3 times he did this. I'll tell you how God... It says that in the Bible, he prayed so fervently that his sweat... It wasn't red. It just meant, have you ever seen somebody bleed profusely if they get cut? It just meant that it was like he just sweat was pouring off of him. Just dripping off of him. That shows you he is under tremendous what? Awful. Listen to me. This isn't sin. Jesus didn't sin. This is human weakness. It got so bad as he's breaking out into a sweat, just pouring off of him, knowing what he's facing. The disciples are completely clueless, not praying, not supporting. It says this, that an angel had to come and somehow infuse Jesus with strength. Now, I don't know how that actually processed, but it says in the verse 20:42, "Now an angel appeared from heaven to strengthen him." Now look, ladies and gentlemen, what's your point, Pastor Dave? If an angel had to strengthen Jesus, why do we sit there and get on each other when we go through these kind of things? As a matter of fact, what was Jesus? Jesus was... Look at what he's going through. Do you know... And here, what's my point? My point is this. Do you know why Jesus went through this? So that when you come to him in this shape, you know what he says to you? "Well, let me give you a scripture verse there, you idiot Mark." He says, "My beloved child, I can identify fully with the circumstances you face, and I will help." Don't ever throw a scripture verse at a Christian suffering spiritually. Now, a scripture verse can help, but if that's all you're going to do and walk away, It showed Jesus needed human support, heavenly support. And no, he did not need a stinging rebuke. And the reason why he went through that is when you come to him, he was tested in all points like as you were, so that he could become a merciful and a faithful, compassionate high priest for you.